Hey, everybody, this is Stelly Efti.
And this is Heaton Shah.
And in today's episode of Startup Chat, we're going to talk about the challenges of scaling a services business.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit, we got it!
For people trying to get shit done.
Done, yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So here's why I want to talk to you about this, Heaton. Beyond the fact that both you and I have run services businesses before and have run software businesses, so hence lots of people come to us with the question of transitioning, and we recorded an episode about that prior, and people can search and find that. I have had a number of cases recently where either friends of mine are shutting down their services or consulting business, or they are currently pondering or considering starting one. And I've heard myself repeatedly talk about some of the challenges that people should anticipate, and they are always surprised by those challenges. And I realized we never talked about A, these challenges, and B, you know, ways to deal with them, right, as you want to scale it. So here's the deal. Like a year ago, 1.5 years ago, I had a friend that wanted to start a growth marketing agency for startups. He was a founder. He's done did two successful startups before. One sold for, I don't know, $60 million or something. Had managed a big marketing team, knows a lot about marketing, founder, awesome guy, smart and all that. And when he started consulting startups on growth marketing and stuff like that, he was seeing that there was a ton of demand for his time and there was a ton of money ready to be made in that space. So he was like, you know what? Maybe I should not just do this myself. Maybe I should just hire a bunch of people and make this a real business. And when he started, the early days were super exciting. Everything was awesome. And anytime he talked to me about this, I always told him, the one challenge I think that he's going to run into down the line, which is that, you know, in the beginning, he is amazing. So I don't have a problem seeing how lots of companies would want to pay him a ton of money and get his time and energy. But once he's trying to hire other people, it is going to be incredibly hard, if not almost impossible, to find people that are as good as he is. It's going to be really hard to keep the quality and the expectations at a certain level with clients. And also, a client in a services business in the first month, when they come with all their hopes and dreams and their problems, that's a much more exciting conversation than 3, 6, 9 months down the line as the messiness of reality shows up, right? As you've done a bunch of experiments and nothing has really worked yet, or you've gathered a bunch of data, but the data is not really conclusive in one way or another, or as they have all these pressures from investors or other sources that make them want you to do shortcut things that might not make sense, or, you know, there's all these problems that come up. And so scaling a services business by hiring more and more and more people, and scaling a services business by retaining your clients over really long periods of time and keeping them happy seems to be one of those things that is very hard to do. I was telling him about that. He was ignoring me on that. And two months ago or so, he shut down the business because as amazing as the beginning was, and he was hiring tons of people and getting tons of clients, you know, as messy it became a year into running that business, and eventually he was like, this sucks, I hate my life, I hate running this company, so I'm just going to shut it down. And I was just talking to a founder yesterday in person that was thinking about starting a services business, again, because he's amazing at what he does, he has lots of clients and he's a consultant himself, so he's now thinking about hiring a bunch of people and scaling this up. And I was telling him about this challenge of scaling the services business. And I had an email this morning, I just remembered as I'm rambling on with you, of a founder that we both know, I'm not going to name his name, that's been running a business. And his main challenge has been that he gets these new clients and they do this job for them for 6 to 9 months and they do it really well. And then the client hires internal people and builds a team and doesn't want to work with the outside person anymore. So he's like running into this retention issue. So lots of challenges, and none of this I'm sure you've never heard before, but let's dive into it and talk a little bit about, like, you know, how to avoid these or how to address these challenges, because there are service businesses that have become really, really fucking big. So there is a way to deal with it, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that stuff.
Yeah, I think it's like any other business, which is you need to create repeatable processes across everything in the business, from sales to delivery of whatever your product is, whatever your service is, all the way to retaining clients.
So let me stop you right there real quick.
Yeah.
What color is your shirt today?
Gray.
Gray. I'm sure it's a dope shirt, and you look really, I like the new shirts that Heaton is rocking. He looks dope. We need to make new pictures. But you're scritchy scratching on the.
Okay, let me work on this. I'm gonna fix this. I'm gonna fix this for you, so I don't have to hear this shit again. Okay.
All right.
If it keeps doing that, please let me know. I have made some changes.
All right, you've made adjustments. I like it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I haven't been able to find great headphones with good mic. So I think Apple needs to do some upgrades. So to me, when you're running a consulting business, you tend to come up with these common problems, and most people, instead of like solving them by looking at the problem and thinking through how to solve them and either running some experiments or making some changes, they tend to give up because it's much easier to just give up or much easier to go do something else. What I found is that when you push through, you actually discover how to build a very successful, very large, highly profitable cash flow business. And there's some natural tips that I'd give somebody. So I think you mentioned a bunch of objections. Number one objection you mentioned, which I call it number one because it's probably the most common and people don't know how to deal with this. When a client wants to bring it in-house. So what I would say is up front, the biggest, best, baddest ass thing you can do if you're a services business and you've heard that clients bring it up front or you experience that, is in the first conversation with them, you set expectations and say, look, I would need to know before we start if you want to bring it in-house. I would want to know what your timeline looks like. And then I would also want to create a roadmap and a plan where you pay us, we do it, and then we help you bring it in-house. Otherwise, I'm not interested in this business. And the reason is, you're not a good customer to me if you show up 6 months from now and tell me you're going to bring it in-house. That means a lot of different things. It could be we're doing a poor job, or it could be that like you realize that like it's cheaper if you bring it in-house. So we'd rather align with you now and determine what that path might look like and build that into our contract. The reason I say that is there's missed opportunities in services businesses where you could be also a recruiter.
Yeah.
And actually get a recruiting fee.
Yep.
Right? So for me, services businesses are all about finding more and more ways to add value for your customer and make more money. And you bake it in. I think what happens is people are like, oh, I'm getting paid 10 grand a month or 20 grand a month or 5 grand a month or 50 grand a month. And they think it's going to last forever. And they don't even design a P&L or anything like this because they're not that crazy. Go back to our episode about math and P&Ls and finance. But like, you know, they don't even think of it like that. They're just like, oh, I'm making 50 grand. If I get 10 customers, I'll make 500 grand a month, you know? And I know I'm talking about extreme numbers, but you could say it's 5 grand. If I get 10 customers, I'm making 50, whatever. But then they don't have any churn built into it. They don't think about like, when is this customer going to leave me? When are they going to do some math and realize that they can do this in-house cheaper? We've built up their skill set internally to do that. So for me, it's all about alignment. And having that alignment in the first convo. I actually had one of these conversations because I was helping a friend with a deal and it came up right away. And I told him straight up, yo, find out if they want to bring it in-house. He's like, yeah, they do. I'm like, when? 1 year. I'm like, cool. Can you come up with a plan on, you know, how that fits into budgeting and everything for you? He's like, absolutely. Can you come up with a plan where you help them do that and you transition from month 9 to 12? He's like, absolutely. And they keep paying you, right? He's like, yeah. And then the other thing is like, there's no reason you shouldn't be willing to reduce the engagement at that point. You don't have to get rid of it. You can reduce it. And if you're doing key things for them, right, you reduce it. So you're almost the equivalent of 1 or 1.5 headcount, but you're still doing some critical things for them because you've built the trust and the processes with them. So I think that like companies get really used to, services businesses really get used to the total revenue they're getting from a customer every month and don't think about how does that evolve over time.
I love especially the idea. And if you look at some of the kind of biggest, most recent examples of services business that scaled, a lot of them adopted this model where eventually they'd be, like part of their funnel and transition is to hire this talent, build these teams for you, and then act as a recruiter where you can hire these people, you know, as full-time internal resources. And that becomes also part of their pitch in terms of hiring great talent. It's like you come here, you work for some top brands and companies, and then you can get hired into great positions after all the experience that you've got. So thinking about the entire life cycle of what you can provide as a service business versus just the, you know, the beginning of it, and then like losing all these customers, being frustrated about that, I think is a massive missed opportunity that I see many, many companies do. How about the challenge of kind of a quality consistency, right? Knowing how to like hiring the type of talent that can do the work really well, but then also ensuring that quality is done at a certain level that you don't run into these big differences where, you know, one of your consultants, let's say, is generating a lot more revenue and making people a lot happier than the other, or you're pitching a certain value proposition, but you know that there's a range of talent that you have internally in terms of how that value is going to be delivered. How do you think about how do services business deal with the challenge of hiring and delivering quality work that is consistent, which is, I think, the toughest thing for most of them?
It's easy when you have less clients because, you know, okay, how about this? The number one reason services businesses don't have the consistent quality is because the people who are running the show earlier on per customer are not the ones running it anymore, which goes back to the repetition and scale problem. So the number one reason is the founder or the founders of the business are no longer the ones managing the clients, running with the clients and whatnot, right? And managing the processes, managing what's going on, and they take their eye off what I call the ball.
Yeah.
Right. Or they don't make it so that that information is transmitted to whoever is doing the account management and the services and whatnot and running that team. So I see that as like a very common problem. And honestly, Stelly, like you might have noticed this, but the people who start these businesses are not conscious of that problem. Mm. They don't even realize that's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the on the receiving end, I had like a business recently that was trying to do a kind of a contract with us and being a service provider. And one of the people that were talking to us was one of the, you know, founders. And he was laying out the project plan and this, that, and the other. And he was amazing to talk to. But very early in the conversation, I was like, buddy, like working with you will work really well for us. I can already tell that working with you would be a pleasure and would be successful. But you've never mentioned so far in all this communication, you've never mentioned who's actually going to be servicing us, who's going to be our account manager. And I assume that's not you. And I'm telling you, if it's not you, I'm not interested. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that person was like, you could tell literally how he had like an oh shit moment. Was like, oh, And then he mumbled on saying, well, you know, with you guys, we could probably make an exception and I could be your account manager. I'm like, yeah, buddy, but are you going to do a good job? Because my sense is that you are out there like bringing in business, which you're doing an amazing job at. But are you going to be able to spend enough time with like servicing us if your main job is bringing in new business, doing sales and business development? And he just was not prepared for that question. Now, to be fair, I would assume that 90% of the people he talks to would never bring this up. But I think that's a problem because a lot of times the person that is selling the services business and is doing the business development and is like buttering up the clients and making them fall in love and builds a relationship, the client is, you know, gets accustomed to a certain style and person and quality of communication, and they think this is going to be our guy. And then, boom, the moment you sign the contract and you wire the money, boom, there's this new person you've never heard of. There's some kind of introduction call with, you know, person XYZ. And now, you know, good luck. Hopefully you like that person. Hopefully the person is awesome. And hopefully the person is somebody you want to work with. And like services business do a terrible job sometimes communicating that transition, having realistic, setting realistic expectations, but also thinking internally, how can we make sure that there's no big disconnects between how we bring in customers and then how we treat them along the journey? And how do we make sure if we're the founders that once we have done all the account management ourselves, that we don't just go, let's hire a bunch of people and have them deal with everything. And as you said, losing touch with what's really going on.
Oh, yeah. If you are running a services business right now and you're listening to this, like I think we just gave you the biggest thing you can think of right there. which is like, go pay attention to what's going on in a way that you used to, especially if you're wondering why your business isn't working anymore and it used to.
And then the other thing, which I love, which is such a fundamental truth, but I want to highlight it to wrap up this episode. As you start your business, you're going to run into problems. Doesn't matter what kind of a business this is, services or non-services. Once you run into these problems, you can decide that these problems make it no fun and these problems are bad and so you don't want to do it anymore. Or you can accept that your reason for existence is solving problems. And the harder the problem is, the more valuable it is to solve. So if you are running a services business that's going well and now you're hitting some scaling challenges, solving these might be very difficult, but if you do solve them, there's a big price that's waiting. There's scaling a services business to something really large is incredible. And as Heaton said, is the type of business that has great margins and massive cash flow. And it can be, and all your competition is going to be failing at scaling the way that you did. They all stop at some point. So there's big opportunity at the end of it. But the price you have to pay to get to that size and to get to that type of awesome business is solving some challenging problems and not running away from them. I think that's it for this episode from us.
See ya.
See ya.